Be dismissed. Good morning. Thank you guys for singing. Thank you for having us back for a third time. It's all right. 1 Peter chapter number 1 this morning. If you have your Bible, say amen. I think it's good to come to church with your Bible. Not your phone, your Bible. I think it's a good thing. Get away from that phone every now and then. The Bible is a good thing. I hope you have yours this morning. If you don't, find someone that does and look on with them. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today, isn't it?
Amen.
It's cool in here. It's not hot. I'm not sweating. I've been sweating a lot this last week.
Amen.
I wish I would sweat some pounds. Some of you should say amen to that. 1 Peter chapter number 1, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word, for your truth. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross. Lord, I thank you for these people here at Red Level, Alabama, the faithful members here in New Hope Independent Baptist Church. Lord, thank you for allowing them to have us back. Thank you for letting us be back. Lord, may we not take it for granted that we're here this morning. Lord, as we open up your word, Lord, let us learn something. Let us glean. Lord, from your word, we know thy word is truth, O Lord. We don't have to argue with that. Lord, let us let God be true and every man a liar. God, now just cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your spirit this morning as we teach and as we preach through your word in 1 Peter chapter 1. Thank you for that book. Lord, just meet with us. Holy Spirit, we sure would like it if you'd meet with us this morning. It'd be nice to know that you're home when we come to church. Devil, we bind you out of here this morning. We don't want you here. You're not welcome here. Through the blood of Jesus, we bind you out of here. Holy Spirit, thank you for that power that we have through the blood. And all God's people said, amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, if you're there, say amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, Peter, an apostle of, what's the next two words? Jesus Christ. To the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through, what's that next word? Sanctification of the Spirit. We're going to talk about that this morning. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, whose abundant mercy is he talking about? God's abundant mercy. According to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible. Aren't you glad that we have something to look forward to that this world can't mess up? Man, I'm not going to focus on that, but I am glad that one day I'll be able to wake up and not worry about anything. Because it's all going to all be about God. And that inheritance we have is incorruptible. And by the way, it's undefiled. And that fadeth not away. Reserved in heaven for you. Say amen if you have that reservation in heaven.
Amen.
I'm thankful for that. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Go back to verse number 1. The Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I think it's important right there for us to stop and just read that again. Peter, an apostle of who, church? Jesus Christ. We need to remember that we are not of anyone else except of Jesus Christ. We're not, I mean, yes, you have a father and you have a mother and you have brothers and you have sisters, but listen, we are of Jesus Christ. When we think about our ministries and the things that we do, we're not doing it because we're of this world. Man, if we were of this world, it'd be hard to do anything. It'd be hard to stand up here and preach to you this morning. It'd be hard to sit over there as a piano player and play the piano for the Lord. It'd be hard to go back there and prep for a Sunday school if you're of this world. But you must remember, you're not of this world. You are of Jesus Christ to the world. Look at the next part. To the strangers scattered throughout. Not only must we remember that we're of Jesus, but here's the part we got to remember. We're of Jesus, but we are, every single one of us, if you're saved, say amen.
Amen.
Hey, listen, you're of Jesus, and guess what? You've been sent to a lost and dying world, starting right here in Red Level, Alabama, expanding all across the globe through world missions. You are responsible for those souls. How do you know? Because God said so. We're of Jesus. How can you possibly say that we can take on such a task as that? Because you're of Jesus Christ. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Through Jesus Christ, I am more than conquerors. Amen? I'm more. Look at verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. I want you to look and see that God has sanctified us. God has sanctified us. To break it down, the word sanctified, most of you know it, just means he set us apart. And what that means is not, you're not set apart, church, because you go to church. Everybody understand that. You're not set apart because you married a Christian woman. You're not set apart because you married a Christian man. You're not set apart because your wife is saved. You're not set apart because you tithe. You're not set apart because you give to missions. You're set apart because you made a conscious choice to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And the blood is why you're sanctified. No other reason. The blood is why you're sanctified. It's the blood of Jesus that sanctifies us. It sets us apart from others. So what does that mean? It means that every single day, not just on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, it means on Monday mornings when we don't feel like going to work and we don't feel like doing what we did on Sunday, it means we're still set apart. It means when our co-workers see us and something's going wrong, it means, hey, church, we're set apart. We don't act like everybody else. We don't react like everybody else. Why? Because we're of Jesus Christ, and because we're sanctified by his blood, we are different. We must understand that. It is important that this world sees you set apart. You say, back to the question of how is it possible for me to win the world? Well, you'll never win the world acting like them. Look at your Bible. Jesus, everywhere he went, a multitude of sinners was begging to be around him. And it was not because Jesus was at the local rock concert the night before hanging out with the sinners. No, it was because Jesus was real. He practiced what he preached. He was a Savior. He was sinless. He was pure. He was holy. He was perfect. He was different. He was set apart. There was something different about Jesus. Church, can I say this? Jesus' shed blood gives you the ability to be different. You believe that? You have the ability to be different. Here's the question. Do you have the desire to be different? It is a conscious decision to not talk like the world. It's a conscious decision to not watch the things the world watches. It's a conscious decision to not listen to the music that does not honor and glorify and uplift our Savior. I'm talking about all music. If it's not psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, if it's not uplifting to the Father, it's not good. It's wrong. Took me a long time to realize, I'm going to probably hurt some of your feelings here, that country music wasn't good for me. Hey, you know what happens when you put a country song in reverse? Get your dog back, your car back, your wife back, your house back. Let me ask you something. When's the last country song you listened to honor God? You know what I like? Down at the cross, sing it, church, where my Savior died. Sing. Down where from cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Sing glory to his name. Glory to his name. And there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Hey, when's the last time a country song did that for you? When's the last time a rock and roll song did that for you? What are you thinking about when you sing that song? You know what you're thinking about? You're thinking about your Savior who willingly died for you. You're thinking about that blood that sanctifies and sets you apart. You're not thinking about the world. You're not thinking about alcohol. You're not thinking about drugs. You're not thinking about carnal things. You're thinking about holy things. Come on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Flip over there. Hold your place in 1 Peter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Back just a few books. Look in verse number 3. Because we're sanctified. Verse number 3. 1 Thessalonians 4. For this is the what, church? Will of God, even your what? Hey, you know what? It was God's will from the beginning. Now, don't mix this up with Calvinism, please. It was God's will from the beginning that all should repent and be saved. Now, we know everyone's not going to. But can I tell you something? God did not sit down and pick and choose who could be. Why would he send Jesus to die for some of us and not all of us? Greater love hath no man than a man lay down his life for his friends. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that, what's the next word? Whosoever. Hey, church, you're part of the whosoever. Hey, church, your lost loved ones are part of the whosoever. As long as they're alive, they have hope. They have hope. But look at this, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. So because I'm sanctified, should I abstain from fornication, young person, if you're in here today? The answer is yes. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testify it. For God hath not called us unto what, church? Uncleanness, but unto what? Holiness. So we have some very clear direction how we ought to be living our lives. Now, church, here's the thing. You have to make up your mind if you're going to let God be true and you be a liar or not. What we like to do is read that, and maybe we'll skip over and we'll go look for a commentary or another version that tells us something a little bit different. It'll word it a little bit. You want me to tell you why they had to change the Bible? Because it didn't fit their lifestyle. God did not mess up when he wrote and preserved and breathed the King James Bible. He preserved it for you, church, the English-speaking people. He did not make a mistake. He did not need some fool to come aboard and say, hey, you messed up on your wording. He didn't need that. He's God. He created you. He created the moron who decided to change his word. Come on. You think God needs help? Hey, church, you need help. I need help. We better just let God be true and every man a liar and understand that God's word is never going to change. No matter how many people change the words and sell a copy of, I don't even call it the Bible, it's a book. It's called false doctrine. The Bible tells us to beware of that. Why? Well, I don't have time to tell you today, but if you ever want to come get into a good conversation with me, I'll show you many, many areas why your King James Bible is right. And we'll just sit down and compare some of the scriptures. And I'll prove to you, biblically, why God's right and we're wrong. We are supposed to be set apart. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We see the importance of giving respect and reverence to God the Father. I like how Peter wrote it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we understand that God's a pretty important fella. He's a pretty important God. But you know, We overlook often sometimes, and yes, don't get me wrong, I don't want to misword this, and I don't want you to think I'm crazy. Jesus did die for our sins. But do you remember back in that garden when he was sweating great drops of blood, what he was praying? He said, "Lord, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, let thy will be done." Hey, it was God who came up with the solution that a sinless Savior named Jesus was going to be the propitiation for your sins. You better be thankful that God was willing to give up his son. How many of you would be willing to give up your son or your grandbaby for anybody? The answer is none of us. But God, who is rich in mercy, we better be okay with respecting and reverencing God the Father. He's pretty important. He sent Jesus to be a sacrifice that we did not deserve. And by the way, Jesus willingly submitted to the will of the Father. Wouldn't it be good, church, if we just submit to God? Say, what do you mean? Just like I said, if the Bible says do it, just do it. If the Bible says don't do it, don't argue. Don't try to look for a way around it. If the Bible says don't do it, here's what you do. You put up a guardrail and says, okay, God said don't do this. Stay away from the guardrail. Okay? You ever seen guardrails that fail? I sure have. I've seen a lot of dead people because of failed guardrails. Hey, stay away from those guardrails. Just stay on the straight and narrow. Just be okay with what God said to do. Look at Hebrews chapter number 12. A lot of scripture this morning. Hey, I like the Bible. I like to hear your pages turning. That's a good thing. A preacher told me one time, we were sitting at a youth camp, and he said, some of you getting caught up on your Bible reading for the week. I hope that's not you and me. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 9. Look what the Bible says. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Now, let me ask you a question, church. How many of you remember your daddy growing up? Or your father figure that you had in your home? Raise your hands. Now, let me ask you this. If you disrespected him, what was the outcome for most of us? Now, if we ask this to the modern church, they're going to say, I don't know what you're talking about. There's no such thing as discipline anymore. I coach a baseball team right now that it is unreal to me some of the attitude that these young men give to their own dads who are their coaches. I'll tell you, we were there the other day, and one of the young men I coach, and his daddy is one of the coaches too, and I you ever got to a point where you just couldn't hold your tongue anymore? And I told his daddy, right in front of him, I said, if that would have been my son that did that to me, I'd have whipped him right in front of God and everybody. I can remember getting whipped in front of people many times. Didn't kill me. I thought it was going to. But I remember, and I deserved it too. But listen, this young man, his daddy said, don't do that. And his daddy put his hand on his shoulder and he slapped his daddy's hand. I'm not kidding. And I looked at him and I said, son, you are lucky that I'm not your dad. I said, I'm going to do your dad a favor. You're out of the game. You're done. Go sit on the bench. His daddy looked at me. I said, he's done, or I'm out. Simple as that. Me and my son, we out of here. Or he's sitting down. Simple as that. I don't think I was out of line. I was trying to teach that boy to respect his father. But look what the Bible says. And we gave them reverence, talking about our earthly fathers. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? What he's trying to say, church, is as much as you would give your earthly father reverence and respect, that much more you should desire to give God the Father respect and reverence with your life. Look at verse number 28, the same chapter, Hebrews 12. Verse 28 says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with what? Reverence and godly fear. You know, church, I don't think you ought to be necessarily scared of God, because he's not a scary person. But let me tell you something. What he's capable of, you better be nervous. You better understand that God is the giver and the taker of life. At any moment. You know, I heard a preacher say this. It was actually my pastor in Alaska. He uses the saying all the time, God will take care of your excuses. It drives me crazy when people say, well, I can't come to church because the kids didn't sleep good last night, blah, blah. Listen to me. God can take care of your excuses. You could wake up tomorrow and they could be gone. God wants you to raise those babies in church. God wants you to be in church. And by the way, not when you want to be there. The book of Hebrews tells us to fail not the assembling of yourselves. Why? Because being around other believers, I don't know about you, but it makes me happy. I like being around people that are positive. I like being around people that smile. I like being around people that edify and uplift and strengthen and encourage. I couldn't stand being out in the world 7 days a week. This the mess you hear of the family dramas and this and that and the other. I'm like, I can't wait to get around somebody that'll smile. So, I mean, does anyone have anything to be thankful for? Say amen. 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 Look, don't be scared to give reverence and honor to the Lord God. We also see back in 1 Peter chapter 1, we also see the abundant mercy of God in verse number 3. According to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope. We see that abundant mercy. You know that word abundant, it means existing or available. Isn't it good to know that not only does God's mercy exist, it's readily available. Isn't that a good thing to think about? Anytime you get down, God's mercy exists, but man, all you got to do is ask. And his mercy is available. He's ready to bless you whenever you're ready to be blessed. He's always there. He has abundant mercy. It means in large quantities or plentiful. Isn't it good to know that his mercy's not going to run out? I'm so thankful for that. I'd be in a mess. Just think of your own sin and how it could possibly be forgiven. That, church, is abundant mercy. Think of your sin. Don't worry about your wife's or your husband's or your baby's. Think about your own sin. And just think, how could a God love me that much to die for me? On top of that, how could God send his son to do that? Because greater love hath no man than a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, Jesus called you his friends. And if I'm not mistaken, when he died, none of us were saved. Am I wrong? We were his friends even when we were lost. He cared about you. He died for you. He shed his blood for you willingly and called you his friend. This mercy has begotten us or given us new life. It's allowed us to be born again. Look at John chapter 11. John chapter 11. It's begotten us or given us new life. John 11, 25. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto her, said unto her, I am the what, church? You know what I like? I'm glad that Jesus died for my sins. But I'm so glad that he did not stay dead. And can I tell you something, church? He's not going to stay gone either. He's coming back. Church, we don't know when. But we might as well get ready. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he says, believest thou this? Do you really believe that in me is life? Look at 1 John 5, 13. Look at that eternal life. 1 John 5, 13. I love this verse. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It bothers me that some people struggle with the idea that they can have eternal life. Church, can I tell you something? As long as you make your salvation about you and your works, you're always going to struggle with the idea of eternal life. It has nothing to do with you. You did nothing to gain it, therefore you can do nothing to lose it. Look at 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may, what's the next word, church? Know that ye have what? Wow. So is the Bible true? Can we have eternal life? Do we have eternal life if we're saved? Amen. Listen, that's something to be thankful for. That's a good thing. You can't go to hell. How about that? You know, the next time the devil, you guys, if you're anything like me, the devil likes to bring up your past. Anybody ever do that? Has he ever do that to you? Here's what you can do for him. When he brings up your past, just remind that joker of his future. How about that? You know what? He's going to be cast into an eternal lake of fire. And he knows it. There's nothing he can do about it. But you know what he's doing? He's doing everything he can to not be lonesome down there. And man, I hate to say this, but he's doing a good job. Not good. Church, we got to step up. You may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Verse 3, we see that lively hope. That lively hope is through the resurrected Savior. Aren't you glad you don't serve a dead Savior? Verse 4, we see we have an inheritance incorruptible. We're back in 1 Peter. We have an inheritance incorruptible. This inheritance is eternal life. Our inheritance is incorruptible. No one can mess it up. Isn't that good? No one can mess it up. No one can mess it up. No one can take it away. It's one without end. Verse number 5, we're kept by the power of God and God alone. Go to John chapter 10. We're almost done. John chapter number 10. We are kept by the power of God and God alone. John 10, verse number 27. Look at this, church. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. That word know is very personal there, by the way. That's very intimate. And I'm not trying to be vulgar here. I'm just telling you, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. He knows everything about you, church. Everything. And I know them, and they follow me. But then he said, and I give unto them, what's the next two words? Eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. There he is, reverencing the Father. My Father is greater than them all, or my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are what, church? One. Wow. Don't we serve a good God? Verse 5 also talks about salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Hey, the last time is talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus. Go to the book of 1 Thessalonians and we'll be done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The last time is the coming of our Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. But I'll tell you what, while I'm still here, I know there's plenty of people that I love that are still lost. And it's very important to me that they come to know the Lord. And I'd say if you'd be honest, you're in that same boat. You probably know someone that if the Lord were to return right now, they'd be in a mess. Hey, look, as ready as I am to meet Jesus, I certainly don't want my lost family members to die and go to hell. I absolutely don't. I heard a preacher say it like this, I'm ready to go to heaven, but I'm not looking to buy the next train right out of here. Right? Listen, don't take for granted the time he's given you. The last time is the coming again of our Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Look at this, church. For the Lord himself shall descend from where, church? Heaven. So where's he at right now? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, waiting. You know what he's waiting for? He's waiting for God to say, go get him. Go get your bride. Hey, you know he's ready. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The trump of who? God, capital G-O-D. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Here's where I hope I'm at. When the Lord comes back, I hope I'm preaching a funeral in a cemetery just so that moment, in that twinkling of an eye, I can experience, hopefully, it's going to be quick, I'm sure, But I would love to experience those graves bust open, and I'd like to just chase them right out of here. How cool would that be? Hey, I don't know about you, but I still use my imagination sometimes. And I can't think but how awesome that's going to be when those graves are physically going to bust open and the dead in Christ are going to rise. They're going to go first. They died first, but hey, guess what? They're going to raise first. Come on now. That's exciting. Is that exciting to anybody else? That Jesus is coming back for us. Verse 17, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Listen, church, I know if you pay attention to what's going on in our country right now, you can hang your head and pout till the day you die. But the Bible says, comfort one another with these words. Jesus is coming back. And we don't know when, but he is coming back. We have a blessed assurance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning, Lord, for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for being a resurrected Savior. Thank you for one day coming back to get us out of this mess. Lord, we pray now for this next hour, the music, the songs, the preaching, Lord, that you'll just bless all the people here. The men and the women, Lord, just open their hearts. Lord, thank you for meeting with us this morning. Lord, thank you for God the Father. Thank you for Jesus the Son. Thank you for the Holy Ghost that discerns good and evil. Lord, meet with us now, and we'll be careful to thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.